Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic Culture's online worship. Let me start with a question. When you throw a party, a banquet, some kind of a gathering, okay, what kind of people do you invite? Family? Yeah, because you want to be loyal to your family members, right? Friends? Of course, because you like your friends. I mean, you would never invite friends that you don't like. I mean, do you have friends that you don't like? Or how about guests who are fun, you know, party mixers, because you want your parties to be fun, right? You want people to feel entertained and have lots of laughs, right? Or do you also invite people like, I don't know, your colleagues, because when you invite them, they feel honored that you invited them, they might give you a good review on your annual evaluation. Would you consider inviting your boss so that if there is a promotion, your boss might consider you? Huh? No? Well, when Jesus is hosting a party, he's throwing a banquet, you know? What kind of people do you think he would invite? His family members? God the Father, God the Son, just the three of them? Or would he invite friends? Does he have friends? And if so, what kind of friends? Would he invite his colleagues or his boss? What kind of people do you think Jesus would invite? What kind of people at his banquet be present as his guests? Well, that's what we're going to find out today. We're going to find out what sort of characters are present at Jesus' banquet. And the second question that I want you and me to address and unfold is, well, if that's the case, then what kind of people should you and I invite to our parties and banquets? Okay? Before we read Luke chapter 14 from the Bible, just I want to give you an encouragement and a challenge. I am thankful that you are joining us via online, that you find this Medium platform helpful to your faith journey. But however, the Lord Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of your faith, the Lord Christ himself will say to you, you got to belong in a body of Christ, in the body of Christ, local church, tangible, concrete people. This may be a starting point, online worship, but Jesus Christ does not want you to remain there. He wants you to follow him, serve him, and join him on his mission with his people, the community, the body of Christ. So let this be an encouragement and also a challenge. Before we read the Bible, would you pray with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, you are the host of all hosts, and we receive your invitation, and we are so, so thrilled and humbled and honored. And we are coming to your banquet, not because of ourselves, but for the sake of Christ. Now, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, that we may see Jesus, hear Jesus, conceive Jesus, O Lord, to your glory. Amen. The reading of the Word of the Lord comes to us from Luke chapter 14. We have been on this series of messages called Meals with Jesus. We are journeying through the book of Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, and we are going to find out, hey, why is Jesus going to that meal? Why is he eating at that banquet? And why is he leaving the party? So Jesus is always either going to a meal or sitting in a meal or leaving from a meal. This is very important because Luke wants you to know there's something deeper going on. It's called table fellowship, the theology and the doctrine of table fellowship. And as Luke unpacks it, there's so much grace and our call to our dedication and commitment. Hear the word of the Lord, Luke chapter 14, verse 1, and then we're going to jump to verse 7. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee. What kind of Pharisee? A prominent Pharisee. He was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all other guests. Would you read verse 11 together with me? This is the key verse. Ready? 1, 2, 3. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends. Do not invite your brothers or sisters. Do not invite your relatives. Do not invite your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the lame, invite the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Would you read verse 15 with me? 1, 2, 3. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here is the theme and the goal. It's really simple, really clear, and really, really important. Please fill in the blanks. Exalt yourself, then you will be humbled. Humble yourself, then you will be exalted. One more time. Exalt yourself, then you'll be humbled. Humble yourself, then you'll be exalted. In the economy of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the way up is down, and the way down is up. It's reversed. Here's a question for you. The hearing of Luke chapter 14 about this, you know, wedding and taking the lowest place, and then you will be placed in the most honorable seat. Is Jesus talking about, at least so it seems on surface, he's talking about banquet etiquettes? Does it not? It seems as though Jesus wants you to know how to find the best seat in the house. Huh? Right? When you come to a wedding banquet, Seat yourself in the lowest place. Then the host will come and take you to the most honored seat at the party, right? Now, that can't be right. Jesus cannot be talking about banquet etiquettes, because this would be a false humility, right? Humble yourselves. You know you're better, but you are just acting humbled, sitting in the worst seat in the house, simply because that way you will get the best seat at the banquet. That's false humility, don't you think? That's not humility at all. Jesus cannot be talking about banquet etiquettes and how to find the best seat in the house. No. Luke gives us three clues, at least three, to show us what Jesus is after is really this. Again, exalt yourself, you will be humbled. Humble yourself, then you will be exalted. Clue number one, this is not about banquet etiquettes at all. This is about the kingdom of heaven. Heaven itself, the kingdom feast, something far important is going on. That's what Jesus wants you to see. Clue number one, Jesus is telling a parable. That's what Luke says, right? Yeah. he's telling a parable. What's a parable? Parable is a story that contains a truth about the kingdom of God. There's a lesson. There's a nugget. Jesus is conveying something very, very important. Second clue. Verse 11, the key verse that you and I read together, for whoever humbles himself, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is a key central verse unpacking this passage. But more than that, this verse, this idea, this thought appears time after time after time after time after time in the whole entirety of the Bible. It appears in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Psalms, in Matthew, in Luke, certainly here, and then 1 Peter, Romans, James. It is everywhere. It's everywhere. I will prove it to you in a moment. The third clue that Luke gives is when Jesus is telling a parable, he says in verse 8, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, that's an allusion, okay? And at the very end, in verse 15, after Christ told all these parables and explained everything, someone at the table, another guest of the prominent Pharisee, what does he say? He says, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. In the biblical understanding, those two thoughts, wedding feast and then eating at the feast of the kingdom of God, this is the Bible's way of talking about the kingdom of God, as in the messianic feast. God's kingdom, you want to call it heaven, you want to call it the life after death, or you want to call it the way the world was supposed to be, the way that Jesus is going to, the new world, the new heaven that Jesus is going to bring down, that is referred to as the kingdom feast or the wedding feast. It's a metaphor. What is heaven like? What is heaven like? Heaven is like a wedding reception. There's music, there's dance, and there's laughters, and there's lots of joy, eating and drinking, fun, 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 joy, 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 celebration, celebration, celebration. That's what heaven is like. Heaven is not like some old guy with long beard saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, monotonously all day long. No, that is boring. What is heaven like? Heaven is like a wedding feast. Wedding feast. Now, in the last book of the Bible, which is the book of, you got it, Revelation, John captures this. Listen, listen. Revelation chapter 19. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Listen to this. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Then the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. You see, there, three clues that Jesus is really talking about the kingdom of heaven, the heaven to come. Not the banquet etiquettes, not how to find the best seat at the party, no. So for the rest of the time, I want to answer the following two questions. What kind of people are present at Jesus' banquet? And number two, therefore, what kind of people should we invite to our parties today? Okay, first question. What kind of people were present at Jesus' banquet? Listen, again, when you exalt yourself, what's going to happen? You will be humbled. And when you humble yourself, you will be exalted. This is a key verse. And I promised you, I will give you more evidences why this is such an important, significant concept in the whole Bible. Start from Proverbs chapter 25. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. Luke 18. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's the same theme repeated. Keep going. Luke chapter 20. Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. Okay? Matthew 23. It's almost verbatim. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. James 4. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter chapter 5, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So what is the meaning of when you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled? When you humble yourself, you'll be exalted in terms of the great, awesome kingdom banquet of Jesus Christ. Simply this. Everyone who is at the banquet of Jesus Christ, every one of them, they realized, they experience, and they declare, I am not worthy. I don't deserve to be at this banquet. I don't belong here. It's the banquet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't done anything to earn or deserve my spot at this banquet. Everyone is humble. Everyone humbles himself and herself. And the Lord Christ himself exalts them high. That's it. So simple, so clear, and yet so almost impossible. I need to recognize how sinful I am. I need to recognize, therefore, that I do not deserve this grace, this gift of receiving the invitation to the wedding feast of Jesus Christ and his bride, which is the church. I don't belong there. I haven't earned it. And therefore, I humble myself. I could never go in there. But when I believe that, Jesus Christ exalts you and me. Notice the passive voice, mood, and tense. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. It's passive voice, right? And everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Again, passive mood, meaning Jesus Christ is doing the action of humbling and exalting. It starts with Jesus Christ. He is the host. And he's the one who enables me, who lures me, who opens my eyes, my ears, and my heart to recognize I don't deserve Jesus' invitation. So when I humble myself, I'm exalted. And when I'm exalted, meaning all I have to say is, Lord Jesus, I'm unworthy, but simply because of your goodness, your righteousness, what you have done on the cross. And when you rose from the dead, you gave me your credit. Not that I earned it, not that I deserve it, out of the goodness of your holiness. You gave me this gift, and therefore I am exalted. That's the kind of people that you will find at Jesus' banquet. But here's the question. Will you find yourself there? Mm-hmm. Will you find yourself at the banquet? If the answer is yes, why? You see, our attempts to do good, perform, obey the Bible, and do all these religious things, the Bible says, they're like filthy rags. I couldn't tell you the exact translation, because if I did, you would be so offended. email me and I'll tell you the exact meaning of that phrase. Your righteous acts are like filthy rags. We are spiritually bankrupt. There's nothing we can show for, nothing that we can bring to the table which will make us worthy of becoming the guests of Jesus Christ. Would you receive this gift? Would you acknowledge it? Humble yourself, then you will be exalted. Second question, therefore, what kind of people then should we invite to our banquets, to our parties? So here comes the parable. Now, the whole thing starts by Luke saying, Jesus went to eat at a, what kind of Pharisee? What kind? Smart? Educated? Popular? No, a prominent Pharisee. That means this host was rich, wealthy, respected, person of influence, person of position. He was prominent. And therefore, according to Jesus' observation, all the guests were like him. See, in those days, listen, in those days, just like today, just like you and me, they did the same thing. And what's that? They invited people to their banquets and parties, guests that they like, guests who are like them, guests who are in equal status in the social ladder, people who they admired, or people from whom they want to receive favor. You see, hospitality, when you are invited to a guest, to a banquet, it's about social currency. What do I mean by this? Social currency? I invite you, you feel honored. And therefore, you invite me to your party, I feel honored. And what's going to happen at these parties? There'll be important, rich, wealthy guests with whom you do networking. That's right. This was a social currency. This is where the power was. So the strong meet the strong, the rich meet the rich, and they power broke. You see what I'm saying? They're like power brokers. And Jesus is saying, no. This should not be. Listen to one historian. She writes, ethics of reciprocity, a gift and obligation system, tied every person, from the emperor in Rome to the child in the most distant province, into an intricate web of relations. Well put. So you invite people that you want to be associated with, people who can do you favors later on, and people who can take you to a better place in your career. And that's what was happening. And it is in this context, and Jesus says, when you host a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your family to whom you are loyal. Do not invite your friends whom you like. Do not even invite your relatives or, listen, even rich neighbors, people of influence, people of position, people can give you, do you favors. But instead, when you host a lunch or dinner, invite whom? The poor, the lame, the blind, and those who are powerless. That's right, that's right. And you know why this was such a shocker? Because in the book of Leviticus chapter 21, the blind, the crippled, and the lame, they could not enter the temple of God. They were not expected to enter the messianic banquet. When the Messiah comes, when he hosts the banquet of all banquets, when he hosts the party of all parties, the poor, the lame, the blind, and the crippled, they would not be present at the banquet. It is in that context. Jesus says, yes, they will be, because they are humbled, and therefore I will exalt them. You see, God's grace is working us. Friends, you and I, we are the poor. You and I, we are the crippled. You and I, we are the lame. You and I, we are the blind. We would have never been invited to the banquet of Jesus Christ except for his grace. And that's why we want to reflect Jesus' list of guests at our list of guests when we host parties and banquets. Because when we do, Jesus says, you will be repaid on the day of the resurrection. When you invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, because they cannot repay you. They cannot invite you back to their own banquet. They have nothing to offer you. Just Jesus says, you will be repaid on the day of the resurrection. I like to think it this way. You are already repaid, are you not? Because Christ has invited to his banquet. So the future promise has already come to pass. Now you are being repaid. So let us think about who the poor are, the blind, the lame in our lives. Who are they? Are they like you and me? No, they're not. They're probably poorer. They don't have anything to offer. And they can't really reciprocate your generosity and your hospitality, can they? Name those people in your lives. People who could not do you any favor. These are the people that Jesus wants us to invite. And that's because meals can be a visual representation of our hearts. You show me the list of all the guests at your party, I can show you what's in your hearts. And vice versa. And that's why we want to have these guests on our list. The poor, the blind, the lame, and the destitute. What's hospitality? Hospitality is showing generosity, right? Opening your home and welcoming people. But listen, the biblical definition of hospitality is when you welcome people, show generosity to strangers. That's hospitality. That is the biblical definition of hospitality, to welcome strangers. Not your kind, not the people that you like, not the people who can help you move up. No, these are strangers. And as such, they have no power in the community. They're like the orphans and the widows. Listen, Hebrews chapter 13. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And by now, you are saying, okay, Victor, I get it. I want to do it. But listen, I got two obstacles. Number one, I don't have time. I don't have time. Number two, oh, this is too much work. Okay? Here are my responses. I don't have time. Listen, how many times do you eat a day? Most people, breakfast, lunch, dinner. That's three times a day. And in a week, that's 21 opportunities. Don't create new events, as in new parties. No, simply invite others to your current events. Let me say it again. Do not create new events. Simply invite your guests, others, to your current events. Keep it the way things are, right? It's not the event itself. It's what happens at the event. The second obstacle you might say is, it's too much work. I'm no Martha Stewart. I'm no Gordon Ramsay, right? But listen, keep it simple but real. Keep it simple but real. You don't have to spread a full-on dinner. No, no, no. Keep it really simple but real. How? As in, I've been to a party where the host only served peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a glass of milk. At first I thought, oh, how weird. But then as the evening went on, the conversations and the fact that it was real, like, because he wanted to invite me into his presence, his domain. And that's what people really want. One woman said it this way. What I really want is not the things from people, even though they are trying to help me. What I really need is a friend. What they provide for me is great, but what I even need the most, more, is somebody to welcome me in. So friends, let me wrap it up. And here are the words of Tim Chester, who authored the book A Meal with Jesus. He says, meals enact mission, but they enact mission because they enact grace. That's what people need. That's what people want. But more importantly, that's what Jesus wants from you and me. Exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. Humble yourself, you'll be exalted. And the Lord will bless you on the day of the resurrection. But that blessing is happening already now. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you now at your invitation. We are so humbled by your generosity. At the same time, we are so confident by your invitation. Thank you, Lord. Accept us into your wedding feast. Not because of ourselves, not because of what we have done, not because of what we are, but simply because we have nothing to show for. We have nothing that we have done to deserve your gift, only your generosity. Oh yes, we are being exalted. We are being exalted by you, Lord. Thank you. Now help us to reflect your banquet in our parties. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.